Please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes. So now you know.
I don't think that we're going to get a huge amount of traction unless one of us becomes really good at social media. Because neither of us are.
Okay, all right. Now, so I agree with what you're saying. I see you and I raise you the fact that I don't think either one of us is going to just rush right out and become adept at social media. So, but here's a possible solution, because we provide solutions. Please remain on the line for a brief survey after this podcast. But seriously,
that's actually cool. If we could get a little audio that says, "Please remain on the line for a brief survey after the podcast," that would be a fucking great way to end it.
Well, you just laid down that audio through the miracle of editing. Uh-huh. We've got it. Your wish has been granted.
But then you need a beep. You need a beep.
Like that too. You like just did that. Wish fulfillment just happening here live.
Episode 5, Time Ghost. In this episode, your hosts, Maul and Steve, hurtle from point A to point B while visiting the idea of the zeitgeist, or, as they prefer to think of it, the time ghost, all while making listeners feel loved and held, hopefully. Strap in for The Ride to Redacted.
But, no, where I was going is, so neither one of us is going to want to be arsed.
Yeah, can't be arsed.
Can't be arsed to become well up on social media. But probably between the two of us, we know somebody who is, or we know somebody who knows somebody who is. So why don't we, let's just get that person to do it.
Well, first we have to hypnotize them into being way into the podcast and working.
Again, I'm optimistic. I think they will be.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a very niche flavor.
Yeah,
that
okay.
Will appeal to a very specific kind of person.
Somehow you have to try, if you could do an intent, I mean, this is what everybody who wants to, you know, be big on the internet wants to do, but somehow you have to, like, hook into something that will kind of promote you, because if you do it, I mean, unless you're already Taylor Swift,
right,
or someone like that.
Name one other.
Yeah,
you person caught me who's out. Popular right now.
I struggled to get that. Beyonce,
I know.
Got it.
Okay.
That was rough. No, I really am plugged into the zeitgeist so much that I would never use that word.
I think it's a
Note
great.
For it.
You know what? I think it's making a comeback.
The zeitgeist. Good. We were worried for a while there. What's up with the zeitgeist? I haven't heard from it.
Do you know what zeitgeist means?
Probably something like people ghost or something?
It's time ghost.
Time ghost. Wow.
I know, it's sick.
Oh, possible theme alert.
I think that if we say take a survey, we do need to come up with a survey.
Oh, yeah. And now that you've said that, we'll have to do all of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, so yeah, we got to do it. Once
at least by the time episode 5 comes out and we've mentioned the thing in the podcast, we will
right.
have had to write a survey.
There will be survey questions.
Yes.
But we can consider what those might be even now, I suppose.
Yeah.
How would you rate your... Would you recommend this to...
to someone you're meeting for the very first time.
Yeah. If you were questioned by law enforcement... Would you admit that you listen to this podcast?
Your estranged brother calls you while you're listening to the podcast. Do you
take the call?
Take the call. and not mention the podcast. Do you be take the call, mention the podcast? Do you see take the call and play the podcast for him over the phone?
And feel free to comment in the general comments at the end of this survey why you became estranged from your brother.
As if we couldn't guess.
Right. We know for a fact that of our gazillion listeners, many, if not virtually all, are estranged from some close family member.
Well,
otherwise, y'all wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
I think it's appropriate for us to imagine our typical listener. and
should,
like,
we name this typical listener?
Well, you just
are
give
we
them
gonna
a name?
Get? Yeah, are we gonna get too attached to them?
No, I think we should. Well, I think to ask the question is to be required to answer it. So what is the name?
Janet.
Okay, fine.
Hi, Janet. This is for you.
Yeah, so Janet.
We love you.
We love you. Thanks for...
Happy birthday.
Yeah, by the way. Right.
Sorry we couldn't make it.
You think Janet would mind if we, like, shared some of their history?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're listening to the podcast, I'm sure they...
Right. It'd be a thrill, actually.
Yeah, everybody just wants to hear their most intimate secrets spilled on the podcast.
But, I mean, there you are. You're listening to your absolutely favorite podcast.
Natch.
And all of a sudden, Mal and Steve,
yeah,
they're talking about you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I think you would get major chills.
Yeah, that'd be a...
But maybe also you would feel loved and held and...
And that's what we want.
That's what we ultimately want.
Yeah.
We want you to feel challenged, but at the end of the day, maybe angry, confused.
And this will be on the survey, too. Do you feel loved and held?
Yes.
And if not, why not?
And if so, what made you feel that way?
Right.
And if not, do you feel capable of being, of feeling that way in other aspects of your life?
Right.
Or are you merely deficient?
Is there anything we can do to improve your loved and held statistics?
Yes. You had said that you want to talk about time ghost. So,
right.
Like, the word zeitgeist, you know, I think we've firmly established at this point in this episode that we are not very plugged in people. Some of us maybe less than others.
Right.
In, you know, I'm not going to name any names.
Yeah.
No, but...
But
why does the phrase time ghost kind of light your brain on fire in a way that zeitgeist doesn't?
Well, first of all, it translates it, but other than that, I don't know, it just sounds, I guess I'm like reverting, as I do by default, to improv mode, and it's like, audience suggestion, I heard time ghost, thank you. So it's got time in it and it's got ghost.
Yeah.
And both of those are rich possible veins. So, I mean, time ghost, you know, sort of vaguely calls up, maybe unfairly, time travel.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's unfair.
Time ghost.
I think they're both kind of ephemeral. And so it's got this seductive, barely there kind of quality to it. It's
right.
Like, what is a time ghost? Because I don't think I
what
would...
What is a time ghost?
Well,
indeed.
I don't think that I would automatically go, a time ghost is the spirit of the times, which is why it's called that, you know?
Ah, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm driving, so I didn't get that. Okay.
Your front brain is driving.
Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully. We'll come back to the word hopefully. But, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the spirit of the times. It's
right.
Like whatever's popular right now, whatever's in vogue,
whatever
in the mode of the times.
Yeah.
But time ghost, it's more romantic somehow.
Right.
It's like you think ghosts of the past when you think
right.
time ghost, not ghosts of the present. and there's
ghosts of Christmas past.
Yes. Well, yes. And there's a nostalgic kind of
right.
wistfulness there.
So the spirit of the times, you were saying. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be that.
Well, can I propose something?
Yes, please do.
So
thank God.
So I will sometimes imitate you imitating your grandmother Libby, who I never met.
Right.
Saying one of her iconic lines, like, "They're so smart."
Speaking of cockroaches.
Yeah, talking about New York cockroaches.
How do they know?
How do they know that? And because I do that, Phoenix will imitate me. So they are now. Speaking of meta,
yeah.
I mean, it's now become my partner imitating me, imitating you, imitating your grandmother, who I never met, and my partner certainly never met.
Right.
Talking about cockroaches, and we're living in the same city that she was living in, of course.
Right.
But
right.
But I think there's
redacted.
A time. Well, yeah, whatever. But I think there's a time ghost quality to that because, you know, I think I even said recently to Phoenix that, like, if I could say something weird and funny and quirky and whatever, that people who never met me generations later are quoting to each other because it's just too good to let it go, then I think that's a pretty good legacy.
On the other hand, I would hope that, I mean, I know that would happen because you're human and you're also memorable. I mean, I think there's hardly anybody, my theory is there anybody who's ever lived, listeners chime in on the survey, who is so completely dull, I guess, I don't know, that no one in their life, like, by the time they're gone, would remember anything they ever said.
I think there are people who are not very original when it comes to, like, the things that they say. And,
but
you
they'll still have something.
They would still... I agree that everybody's got something. Something that they do, something that they say. But the question is it enough to transcend generations
time.
Like that? Is
yeah.
it
yeah.
powerful enough
yeah.
to haunt future generations?
Yeah, that's true. All right, you know, again, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm apologizing. I'm sorry for apologizing, but I'm going to have to quote Marcus Aurelius, who said, "In the life of a man, his time is but a moment, his being an incessant flux, his soul an unquiet eddy, his fortune dark and his fame doubtful. In short, all that is of the body is as coursing waters, all that is of the mind as dreams and vapors, and after repute, oblivion. Life a warfare, and a brief sojourn in an alien land. Where then can a man find the power to guide and guard his steps? In one thing and one alone, philosophy." Okay, so I garbled that a little, but it's basically correct.
Are you kidding me?
No, yeah,
I got that out.
I got the order of some things a little wrong,
but
I'll fix it in post. But the point here is not just, you know, that's pretty cool, but also it's on point, it's on the topic. But what he's saying there is, you know, everything fades eventually, which is kind of a downer. But on the other hand, we have his words,
right.
which are kind of contradicting
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's like Ozymandias. It's like, you know, I met a wanderer from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs stand in the desert," you know. I don't have the whole thing memorized, but it's like, you know, near the feet, the legs in the desert, there's like the face of this enormous colossus statue, and on the plinth it says, like, you know, hear the city of Ozymandias, like, look upon my mighty works and tremble, and nothing else remains.
Yeah.
You know? But that poem has endured.
Right, right, right.
It's like empires rise and fall, but, you know, English majors persist.
An English major is forever.
An English major is ready to be made obsolete at any moment.
That too. I guess I'm not super familiar with that poem. I know it exists, and you did a good job.
I only remember the first two lines. I saw somebody with a tattoo that was clearly that, the two legs in the desert. Mom has it memorized for sure. But, and I was like, can you bust out that whole poem? And they've just did, they were like, I don't know, maybe. And then they did. And I was like, damn, okay. I was like, you should. I mean, if you get a tattoo, you should have this poem memorized because it's kind of short, you know.
Otherwise, you're just a frivolous person walking around with a tattoo.
Yeah. So this is...
Just superficial. Yeah.
So this is...
Oh, you're looking it up.
Yeah. I met a traveler in an antique land who said two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty in despair. No thing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. So that's Percy Shelley, Mary Shelley's husband.
Percy Bysshe Shelley?
Percy. Just Percy.
Just Percy?
To
his buddies?
To his friends, yeah.
Well, cool. And you know...
Capital R romantic.
That image...
Buddies with Lord Byron and all that.
I know. Please.
Listen, not every...
Bitch, please.
You weren't an English major. Some of our listeners know.
Well, I took a lot of literature classes.
No, I know. Because you and Mom would not have gotten together if you didn't know some literature stuff. I don't think she would have stood for that.
Right. I mean, as it is, I'm always on probation.
She called me illiterate once.
Get the fuck out of here.
She said that, you know...
That's harsh.
She said because I didn't read literature or I didn't know the classics or whatever.
Right.
She said I was illiterate. I was like, cool.
You know who can relate to that totally? Our listener, Janet.
Yeah. Sorry about your mom,
Janet. That's probably triggering.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later in another episode. But this is the point, now that we have, like, kind of hit it, that anything from here on is a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bonus track.
Yeah.
We're laying down right now. So I mentioned the word hopefully earlier.
Yeah.
So harking back to which episode was it? I think it was episode 3 about living the dream or racing the train, where I was trying to remember the phrase and I didn't quite get it. Jump and a net will appear. I stumbled into jump and a parachute will open. So there is that saying, and it's, you know, the faith that if you commit to improv or whatever we are doing, you know, that it'll work out. You'll be fine, dude. Just go for it.
Yeah.
It's a surfer ethic.
Take the leap of faith.
The leap of faith. So jump and a net will appear, right? And this has this, like, very positive, you know, you do you, affirmative, supportive vibe. But it occurred to me the other day that if you just add one word to it, it changes the whole vibe. And that word is hopefully.
Yes.
Jump and a net will appear. Hopefully.
Or a net will hopefully appear.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I could be wrong. It's a very powerful qualifier,
as
I discovered once in a rare moment of legal negotiation. I haven't done a lot of that, but I used to handle, because I thought like you had to build a general or bigger law practice, real estate closings, until I realized, no, that's not for me. It's just, it always descends into... two older ladies arguing over toilet seats, the buyer and the seller. And it's just, no, it was like a wrong thing for me to do.
Such an insightful look into our legal system right now.
Yeah, yeah. And this is another reason people listen. So there's this guy who's local to me who I think it's unlikely will be a listener, so I think I'm okay here. Another lawyer, and we were both on the opposite sides of this house sale, you know, matter. And he represented one of the buyer old lady, and I represented the seller old lady. I say this now that I'm practically an old lady myself, so not judging you for being old or a lady. But that was just to set the scene. And his client was, you know, sort of threatening to scuttle the deal because, you know, there was like some broken windows or something on the house. And they weren't happy. It was something like that. And, but his client, as was required in this kind of transaction, had put down a good faith deposit of like 10%, which probably was around like $20,000. A fair chunk of change. And the rules are not 100% clear on when the prospective buyer gets to get that back if they want to back out of the deal. It was quite likely that his client was entitled to it, but she was being a pain, you know, bringing up the broken window or whatever, the cracked toilet seat equivalent. So he said to me, we were meeting in his office, and there's, you know, a little tense vibe because we're negotiating and I'm trying to get the deal to go through for my client, and his client is being a pain and kind of threatening to hang it up. He said to me, so of course if we do cancel, you know, we're entitled, you know, your client would of course give the deposit back. And I had my one moment of brilliant negotiation that I've ever had in my career. I don't claim to be God's gift to negotiation. And it just you know, the soul and mind of a better negotiator briefly inhabited my body like a kind of ghost. It's like a time ghost, yeah. And the word came to me and I said, probably. And then, you know, we continued talking for a while, but I knew that it had landed the way I think I intended it to. When, you know, a couple of minutes later, he said, a little while ago, you used the word probably. What did you mean probably? And I just sort of leaned into the caginess of it, and I said, I meant probably, you know. I think I said there's a good chance, it's pretty likely, that my client would give the money back. And knowing full well that embedded within the word probably and even the word likely is the concept possibly not. And that's all it took to get the deal to go through. So
that's diabolical.
Yeah, so hopefully it could be a powerful word and not necessarily in a good way.
Not to tie everything together in a fucking bow,
but
I think we're very much at that stage in, like, world affairs. Like, the zeitgeist right now is literally, we're probably gonna be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, jump and hopefully a net will appear. Yeah. That's where we're at right now. And I think everybody is deeply feeling that. And maybe not.
Holy shit.
We might not be okay.
You did it. You did it. You tied it to the zeitgeist. And I think you're exactly right, by the way. Yeah. It's like, is life as we know it and life on Earth and the ability to, like, breathe oxygen and everything, let alone, you know, be able to get your ass through a day and afford food and maybe have a nice moment with your friends, is all that going to continue to be
possible?
Know, possible? And it's like, probably.
But
yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Before it wasn't even a question. To feel like, well, you know, the other thing is we're alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As long as they're alive, but like you gotta find hope. You got to. You can't be bummed. It's a surfer. I guess it's a little. It's not just surfer. It's like anybody. Like, all right. So you, how long are you gonna stay like completely devastated and bummed? I mean, you, at a certain point, you just gotta get on with it. You know, until. There was a guy in law school, Anthony Grande, who was actually quite short, but his name was Grande.
So it was Ariana Grande.
And he really?
To name another famous person. Yeah, she's tiny.
Okay, I did not know that.
Do you recognize the name?
So, yes. Tony, I could be lying, but yes. Tony
you wouldn't
grew up
lie to our listeners.
In the Bronx. And I think, you know, he ran with a rough crowd. He was kind of a fun guy, happy-go-lucky law student, fellow law student. And he used to say that they had a saying, you know, when they were, like, confronting maybe people in a rival gang or something. In order to give them heart, they would say, well, they can kill us, but they can't eat us. I guess it made sense in that context, but
I think it makes sense to me now in a like, you know,
yeah,
in a really dark way. It's like the worst they can do to us is kill us.
Yeah, right. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Well, we'll have a complete dictatorship. Racism is like the official government position, and people like. Are shooting each other in elementary school and so on and so forth. Just go on. Repeat as necessary. And, all right, it's like, well, that's bad. It could be worse.
I read my students this story, classic, like, it's not like a Jewish folk tale, but it is like, you know, a very pragmatic kind of Jewish story, and it's called It Could Always Be Worse. And it's like this guy lives with his wife, you know, maybe also his mother and his, like, you know, 6 or 7 kids, and they live in a little one-room house, and he goes, it's like so crowded there, he goes to the rabbi to be like, Rabbi, pulling my hair out over this. I don't know what to do. You know, it's so crowded. It's so noisy all the time. Like, what do we do? Yeah. And the rabbi's like, you got a chicken? He's like, yeah. He's like, bring the chicken inside and live with the chicken in there. And he's like, what? Did you not hear what I said? And the rabbi's like, go away, do that, and then come back to me. And so he brings the chicken inside, and it's a mess. Feathers everywhere. There's chicken shit everywhere. It's loud. It's terrible. There's feathers in their soup. And so he, like, goes back to the rabbi and he's like, Rabbi, I brought the chicken inside. Everything is worse. What do I do? Like, you know, why did you tell me to do this? And the rabbi's like, you know, you have a goat? And he's like, yeah, I have a goat. He's like, bring the goat inside. And so he keeps doing this. He keeps coming back being like, this is terrible. There's, like, animals underfoot all the time. It's loud. It smells terrible. Like, you know, there's not enough room to swing a cat in there, basically. You know, he brings all of his animals inside. And finally, he's like, I'm at my wit's end, you know. And the rabbi's like, take all your animals out of the house. And so he puts them all outside, and the house is, they're like, oh my God, there's so much room. We can breathe. You know, he's like, this is not so bad. Why did I ever think this was bad? You know, and the rabbi's like, see, it can always be worse. You know. Right. Yes.
Right. Time for your masterful sign off.
Okay.
No pressure.
I mean, the sign off that I, you know, came up with, decided on was just like, I love you. Get home safe.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. I love you.
I love you, too, and you nailed it yet again. I want to give you, like, the main credit.
I think that you made the right call in saying Zeitgeist was going to be
Wow. It. Yeah, I was worried there that we weren't going to We weren't going to have anything.
I was having a good time. I thought that we were going to have something anyway, even if it wasn't anything crazy.
Jump and Annette will appear.
Hopefully.
That's it. Okay, I got to stop recording on that. All right.
Please remain on the line for a brief survey after the podcast. Beep.